We go up to Madrid and the busy newsroom of El País, where Simon Hunter, who never gets his concepciones and his constituciones mixed up, is waiting on the line to bring us the latest news from El País. Simon, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's not that busy up here, I have to say. A lot of our colleagues are taking advantage of the fiesta of the Constitución.
Yes, indeed.
And it's very empty up here today.
Well, it's and also because it falls on the Wednesday and on the other ones on the Friday, the Puente comes in, and the only time it can be possibly worse is when the one falls on the Tuesday and the other falls on the Thursday, and then the whole place is just empty.
That, I believe, is the Super Puente, isn't it? I believe that's called. But yeah, we're on it. This is a near Super Puente. So yeah, so chaos on the roads. Everyone taking advantage of a little pre-Christmas break, and good on them.
Well, exactly indeed. But we hard-working news gatherers, of course, with our ears to the grindstone, have to carry on. Now then, let's have a look at what's making front pages and news throughout Spain this week. What would you like to kick off with, Simon?
Well, why don't you have a guess? Take one guess. What's our big story?
Oh, I don't know. Is there anything to do with Catalonia, perhaps?
Oh! Yes, it is Catalonia. I'm about to go off on paternity leave, and I don't think anyone has ever looked forward to their paternity leave as much as I am, just to get a break from talking about Catalonia. Because 2 weeks tomorrow, we've got the regional elections, and this has to go down in Spanish history as the most bizarre election campaign, in democratic history, because we've got candidates who are in jail. We've got candidates who are in exile in Belgium. We've got a hugely motivated electorate, which is really interesting. We could be about to see the elections in Spain with the highest turnout in history. And rightly so. I mean, you know, whatever side of the pro-independence argument you fall on, the important thing is for people to go out and vote. What might happen, though, is that the results of these regional elections will reflect what many of the polls have been saying for a long time, which is that it's kind of almost a 50-50 split between the people who are pro-independence and who are pro-union with Spain. I always describe Catalan politics as an alphabet soup, because there's so many parties and so many different groups. It's further complicated this time by the fact that two pro-independence parties who last elections ran together in a coalition, which is Together for Yes and the Catalan Republican Left. This time, after the whole unilateral independence declaration debacle, they are actually going to run separately, which is going to be interesting because obviously it splits the vote even further. The Catalan Republican Left look like they might do pretty well in the polls. But a bit of a surprise, one of the most popular parties in the polls at the moment is Citizens, Ciudadanos, which is this centre-right group, which originally was formed specifically in response to the Catalan independence challenge. They were a Catalan party that then went national, and they were formed to kind of combat this pro-independence movement. So other news away from the sort of the election campaign, we've got the withdrawal of the extradition request by Spain against Carles Puigdemont, the former regional premier. He's the one that scarpered to Belgium and seems to be having a lovely holiday from there.
Indeed.
Yeah, there's pictures of him in Bruges and having lunches and actually, running a campaign from Belgium, along with several other former councillors former Catalan government ministers who went out there with him. Now, this is really interesting. This is basically on a very kind of weird legal technicality. Spain has had to drop this extradition request. The reason being that one of the offences that he's facing trial for, which is sedition, it doesn't actually exist under Belgian law. And as such, if Spain tries to get him extradited on these offences and then Belgium hands him over, because that technical, because that legal offence doesn't actually exist in Belgium, he couldn't be tried on it in Spain. So somewhat bizarrely, the Supreme Court has dropped the extradition request against him. So Belgium now has no no obligation to hand him over. That said, as soon as he steps on Spanish soil, he will be subject to arrest and will be facing these charges that the rest of his colleagues have been held in pre-trial custody for a couple of weeks. On Monday, most of them were released, but the a court decided to keep the head of the Catalan Republican Left in jail, along with another former minister and the two leaders of these pro-independence associations, Omnium and ANC. And these two guys were leading these civic associations, pro-independence associations. They ended up in jail for basically getting in the way of the Spanish authorities trying to shut down the illegal referendum.
Right.
And they are now running as candidates in these upcoming regional elections. So, I mean, we've said this so many times, just when this whole Catalan story can't get more outlandish and can't get more bizarre, it just seems to keep topping it itself in terms of just these extraordinary headlines, these extraordinary events. But what is interesting is that although the pro-independence parties are still working towards a Catalan Republic, they're not setting out any timeframes. They're not doing what they did last time, which was to say, right, we are going to have a referendum on this date and we are going to secede from Spain and it's going to be unilateral. I mean, they're toning it down. They did this unilateral declaration of independence. No one outside of Spain recognized it. The EU was very hostile, said, no, you know, Spain is our only interlocutor. We're not going to deal with or recognize an independent Catalonia. So they've kind of already proved that it's not going to work by going down that route. So now they're talking about working towards a Spanish Republic, but doing it, a Catalan Republic, but doing it by negotiations with the Spanish state. And after all of everything that's happened over the last couple of months, I think it's fair to say the Spanish state is going to be a bit more receptive to some kind of talk, some kind of conversations than it has been up until now. Because, you know, look what we've all been through. It's just been the most extraordinary set of events. So now all eyes on these December the 21st polls, and let's see what comes out of there.
We'll be running a special viewpoint, which is our tour, which is our current affairs programme, on the 19th, it's a Tuesday before. Looking forward to that one immensely, because we're going to have a lively discussion panel. I've already got them primed and ready. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really interesting pre-Christmas. Do you think the people in a pre-Christmas election, do you think people will be able to sit down across and put the family divides to bed over on the night of the 24th?
I think it's going to be very, very difficult, to be honest, Giles. It's something that has divided families and friends and workmates, and it's one. I mean, it's for me, it's just like Brexit. It's something. I mean, you only have to, if your readers follow us on Twitter or on Facebook, you only have to go and look at the comments that are posted by our readers every time we run something about Catalonia. El País has taken a line that's very much, you know, with the constitution, with the Spanish constitution, happens to coincide with the government's approach to the issue. The newspapers is coming for a huge amount of criticism for taking that line, particularly from our English speaking readers. People outside of Spain see this as very much as a sort of, you know, the Spanish state, return to the times of Franco, and things like that, and the Spanish state, repressing Catalonia. But it's not as simple as that. I mean, obviously this whole situation wasn't helped by the terrible police violence we saw on the day of the referendum. But it's not as simple as that. You know, the what the politicians have done in Catalonia is to step completely outside the framework of the law. And I always say, well, you know, if in the United Kingdom, the Scottish government had basically decided to completely ignore the laws of the country and run a referendum and then unilaterally declare independence. What would everyone in the United Kingdom be saying? I mean, it would not go down particularly well. But yeah, it's just this most extraordinary situation that we're in. So yeah, hopefully the elections will kind of take us to some sort of conclusion. I mean, I think the worst outcome would be that we're, you know, left with this situation where everyone's scrabbling around trying to do deals. There's no clear majority, and you know, we could just be the situation could just continue like this for the coming year. So who knows?
Indeed. I mean, the one thing is, because I obviously stalk you on Twitter as well, Simon, and I always raise a wry smile when your grinning face comes up on the El País in English on Twitter. But one of the things is it's an entertaining read to begin with. The other thing is you bring this whole thing about the Catalan parties and the fact that Ciudadanos, which is basically has basically gone from this party that was trying to bring Catalans, you know, to be an alternative voice to Catalan, has kind of turned into the Partido Popular Light, if you like. You know, if you're not going to go for the PSOE and you don't want to go down to the Partido Popular, I'm not a big fan of Rajoy, there's always Ciudadanos, because Podemos seems to be, shall we say, cutting off on its own little path as well. So it's an entertaining time. And also, Catalan politics, if you know your history and you know your Spanish history and the Civil War, the Catalan politics has always, there's always been so many fringe groups and groups of this and groups of that and the other. I mean, it is like the People's Front of Judea and the Popular People's Front of Judea. Other opinions are available, obviously, Simon. We have to add that as well.
Absolutely. No, the interesting thing about Ciudadanos citizens is that their other big thing was this anti-corruption line. So they're kind of, if you're on the centre-right of Spanish politics and you're anti-Catalan independence and you're anti-corruption, because after, you know, most reasonable people are, then yeah, they're an interesting option. Podemos is in kind of trouble because they've been a bit sort of wishy-washy about the whole independence thing. I mean, they are in favour of a referendum, but they've had problems with their regional branch of their party in Catalonia, which was more in favour of the actual unilateral declaration of independence. So they actually could hold the key to who gets to form a government after these regional elections, which I think might be a better option than what happened last time, which was that the Junts pel Sí, Puigdemont's party group, Junts pel Sí, which also included the Catalan Republican Left, had to do a deal with the CUP, which was this far-left, anti-capitalist, anti-EU, radical party. It was the least voted party at those elections, and they made life very difficult. I mean, they were just such unlikely bedfellows, Junts pel Sí and the CUP, and they made life very difficult for Junts pel Sí to get anything done, because they were, you know, they're really quite an extreme party with some interesting views that don't necessarily fit within the mainstream of Catalan politics. So,
Got to love Catalan politics. It makes an episode of Game of Thrones look like something from Peppa Pig, doesn't it? Basically,
exactly. It's keeping me in a job as well.
Well, so absolutely. Listen, you know, we used to say just mark, push the button marked Brexit for a conversation. Now we just push the button marked Barcelona Catalan. Let's move on. And I'm looking forward to the Clásico, like, hugely. You know, the next Real Madrid Barcelona football match is going to be huge. Let's move away, if we may, from that particular subject, because I'm sure we'll come back to it at some point in the future. And this is groundbreaking news. Supermarkets.
This is just the excuse for me to go on a rant, really. You know,
I'm standing by. I've had one this. You won't have heard this, but I've had one this morning already, Simon. So you're in good company.
What was it about?
I don't know if you get inflicted, but you know how Spanish TV has been inflicted by Gran Hermano in all the reality TV series, and they like a good shout. Well, I was listening to a radio station last night, and it came across that in the UK there's going to be, I believe it's a Big Brother or a Celebrity Big Brother, that's going to be entirely populated by women, and they had somebody who'd obviously just fallen, but, you know, picked out random words from a dictionary or thesaurus, as you pronounce it, and she was saying that the fact that the house was now full of Big Brother was going to be full of women, it was empowering for women.
Right.
you know, sisters are doing it for themselves. And it's the Big Brother house. You know, they're hardly on the front lines of whatever. They're not taking a stand. And obviously the cameramen are probably all cameramen. It's controlled. But I just, you know, it was particularly when people start spouting that sort of thing, it really makes my, you know, type rhesus negative boil.
I can't believe that anyone's still watching Big Brother. I mean, surely that show's had its day now, really. Well,
that's why they've thrown it full of women. And anyway, this particular reality TV boy girl band star was saying that it's going to bring the sisterhood cause back. You know, forget the suffragette movement, forget Rosa Parks. This is going to really turn around, you know, the women's movement. And I just literally threw my eighth sonnet of the day at the wireless. So there you go.
Here we go. I'm going to get ready. Right, I'm going to wind me up and I'll. But do we really need 24-hour supermarkets? This is my question. This is the news that Carrefour is about to open this like mega store in this Madrid neighborhood of Vallecas, and it's going to open it 24 hours a day. Now, my parents live near Colchester, and they have the Asda that's near them. Is 24 hours, and I just think, well, what's the point? I mean, I guess it must make sense for them somehow, but do we really need, I mean, who's going to go and buy a fridge or, you know, go into to do like a massive shop in the middle of the night? I find it really bizarre. And I remember the times.
Look
I've
out.
Been in Spain. Here we go. I've been in Spain for 18 years, and I remember the times when on a Sunday you couldn't buy anything. It used to be so regulated, and you know, people could. It helped small businesses because small businesses didn't have to, you know, ramp up their costs by opening on Sundays to compete with the big stores. And it used to be that it was just these completely dead days. And I actually kind of missed that. It was always nice when you literally couldn't get anything, you couldn't buy anything. And everyone's just concentrating on what they should be doing in Spain, which is enjoying life and going out and having a nice long leisurely lunch. So Carrefour is now going to open these a 24-hour store in Madrid and roll them out. They've already got seven stores in the region which open all night, but they're like the Carrefour markets, you know, those little kind of
express
little corner stores, which that makes sense. I mean, you know, obviously we need to be able to get, you might need to go out and, you know, grab a pint of milk in the middle of the night or first thing
when the need for hummus strikes, Simon, there's no stopping you.
Exactly, this is my point. So yeah, so expect to see this. I don't know what it's like around your way. I guess maybe a bit more geared to you know, more of a sort of a touristic environment, but around here, I don't know. But anyway, expect to see this coming soon. 24-hour stores are coming your way, and you will be able to go and get your hummus whenever you like.
Now, don't get carried away with this one, Simon, because you're a big city boy, you see, because you're in Madrid and the kind of thing. I'm a Costa de Marbella. I'm one of those Marbella types, unfortunately, get a nosebleed if I go anywhere further. But I spent 2.5 years up in Antequera, which is about an hour north of Malaga. It's got an AVE stop on it, so you probably know, or you stop on it on the way through, you blast through. And that is, I call it my year in Provence stage of my life, where I went up. And honestly, if you hadn't, and they, I mean, if you haven't done your shopping by 2 o'clock on a Saturday, that's it. Because everything else is shut until Monday morning. And the other thing is, if you, you know, we are currently on a national holiday and we'll be on a national holiday on Friday. But if you have been shopping in the supermarket the day before, only a 24-hour national holiday, Simon, but you would think that the end of the world was coming in your local supermarket, because Spanish, bless them, everybody shops as if, you know, as if the flood is coming.
That is true, yeah. And actually, we go to Marbella. My wife's family have a place in Marbella for like a timeshare for a week in August. And we have been, and it just coincides with that bank holiday in August sometimes, and we have arrived. Sometimes for completely forgotten about the bank holiday, tried to go to Mercadona and just been greeted with the shutters, and it's like, oh no, what are we going to do now? And of course end up going to Open Core and spending like the week's shopping budget just getting a few things. But this is my Carrefour rant. I find Carrefour massively confusing. I'm through and through a Mercadona man, because it's just very, very simple, and you know, I find Carrefour completely overwhelming. So the thought of wandering around the aisles of Carrefour at 4 a.m. you know, trying to find you know, just a jar of Tabasco or something. It's too much for me,
Simon. Just the thought of, you know, an internationally respected journalist as you are, heading the news desk at El País and finding Carrefour, too overwhelming. I'm going back to Syria.
It is, though. It's too big. There's too much in there.
Simon, as they will tell you in any great recovery program, Simon, an aisle at a time. Just get through that first aisle and then move on, okay? Simon, we could talk about supermarkets for most of the day. We'll talk about my favourite supermarket a little bit later. But Simon, if people want to find out more about the supermarket frenzy and also the piffling issue with what's happening up in Barcelona, El País, of course, excellent in English, and the tweets are worth the price of admission alone. Where can they find you, Simon?
Yeah, if you Google us, El País English Edition, you'll find us on the El País website, and you can find us by doing the same on Twitter and Facebook too. And, you know, take this latter part of this conversation as a kind of holiday conversation. There's much more serious news stories on our website now. It's not all about supermarkets.
Absolutely. Listen, enjoy. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your paternity leave, and obviously the baby Puigdemont as well.
Thank you very much, Charles.
Simon Hunter at El País, thanks for your time today.
Cheers.